There were echoes of the Watergate hearings more than 40 years ago yesterday, as for nearly 3 hours, former FBI Director James Comey testified in the most anticipated, highest-profile congressional testimony in decades, giving details of his interaction with President Donald Trump, who fired him, answering question after question from senators. He called the president a liar on several occasions, and afterwards, the president's lawyer called Comey a liar. The testimony drew sharp reactions, partisan for the most part. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
After hearing Mr. Comey's testimony today, America is stunned. The cloud hanging over this administration has just gotten a whole lot darker.
And House Speaker Paul Ryan.
The president's new at this. He's new to government. And so he probably wasn't steeped in the long-running protocols.
Trump did not tweet until this morning when he declared victory, despite so many false statements and lies, total and complete vindication. One thing everyone does agree on is that this is far from over. Here to discuss Comey's testimony and the legal fallout are former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Kramer, managing director of the Berkeley Research Group, and Stephen Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery, and former general counsel to the U.S. Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs. So much has been said about Comey's testimony, so let me ask you both to give your reaction to his testimony and its import. Jeff, let's start with you.
Sure. I certainly agree. It was monumental. We did have somewhat of a preview, given the fact that Mr. Comey released a statement beforehand. But as we knew, the question and answer period was more revealing. As he indicated, he told a friend basically to let a reporter know about this, which is how we learned about it. But I think Jim Comey struck a perfect chord between just giving the facts and giving us really an inside view into that conversation, which is unique unto itself, but then also opining a little bit on whether or not the president overstepped his bounds.
Stephen?
Well, you know, I think we're off on a multi-month and maybe year investigation. And the only vote about the investigation that really counts is Bob Mueller's, the special counsel. And so when we look at Comey 6 months from now or a year from now, this was the John Dean testimony of this period. But what the end result of that is not yet clear.
Much of the talk for weeks has been whether or not Trump committed obstruction of justice. Comey said that he wouldn't make that conclusion himself, but his testimony laid out a case for obstruction of justice, and legal experts that I've been reading are divided. Jeff, what's your take on obstruction of justice?
Yeah, I think reasonable minds can certainly differ on this, but your point's well taken, is that while Jim Comey didn't give the final answer, yes or no, in his opinion, he did kind of lay out a couple of the elements, and knowingly so. And can the president even be charged? Can the sitting president even be charged with obstruction? You know, just quickly, you look at, and any federal prosecutor who's been doing this for a while has done some obstruction cases, you look at someone's words and actions, and the president has given us his words, some through Jim Comey, but also his tweet as to why he fired him. And then you look at his actions. He fired an individual who was arguably making an investigation he didn't want. I think it's a tough call. At the end of the day, as was indicated, you know, Bob Mueller will lay things out, and there's certainly smoke here. Is there enough to charge? And even if we can, probably not. But it's unfortunate we're even this close to the line.
Steve, there's the obstruction of justice. There's also a possible case for abuse of power. What's your take on it?
Well, look, I think the president's choice to have these conversations with Comey was ill-advised, and I think no one could argue that in retrospect, once you have conversations of that type and fire the person, you become vulnerable to these charges. You could have fired him for what you thought of him beforehand, but once the conversations occur, you become a hostage of him, and that's what we're seeing play out at this point. I think based on what we heard yesterday, the work that the special counsel will have to do will be to look at what other conversations did the president have and with whom, What do other people in this investigation know that relates to the president? So, for example, does General Michael Flynn know something, or was there a conversation between the president and Flynn that eventually the special counsel will know about? And so what we have is a kaleidoscope where at the center you have the Comey testimony about the president. What we don't have is the president's actual version of that, which one would conceive is quite different.
I've been talking with former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Kramer, now managing director of the Berkeley Research Group, and Stephen Ryan, a partner at McDermott, Will & Emery, and former general counsel to the U.S. Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs, about fired FBI Director James Comey's testimony. Now, there was some word today that from Trump's private attorney that he plans to file a leak complaint against Comey, according to a person close to the president's legal team. He said that he would file that with the Justice Department, Inspector General, and the Senate Judiciary Committee. Stephen, tell me a little bit about whether it's a crime to leak something private the way Comey did.
Well, it would be a crime if it was grand jury information. It would be a crime if it was classified information and he didn't have the authority to declassify it. The documents that, or the information that he's released, don't appear to be in those categories, but it certainly, I think, is an appropriate tactic for the president's lawyer to raise the appropriateness of that action. When the Justice Department looks at it, it's not going to violate, I believe, the Justice Department's laws, but it certainly is inconsistent with procedures for those of us who served at the Justice Department, as I did and my colleague on the call.
Jeff, at this point, Comey is a private citizen, so he's still subject to Justice Department rules? And what kind of, you know, what does the Inspector General do? Issue a report? I mean, are there any possibility of charges?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, if he still worked for the Department of Justice and violated rules or regulations, then they could take certain employment actions. Obviously, he doesn't work there anymore, so that's gone. And the Inspector General could examine this and see if a referral is appropriate. I don't think it is, for DOJ to investigate criminally. I can't imagine that lies. So at the end of it, the Inspector General will obviously take this seriously, will examine it, issue a report, but I think it just it ends right there.
Let's also talk a little bit about the president's attorney referred to the conversations that Comey had with President Trump as privileged. Is there any sense, Steve, in which these were privileged?
Well, the attorney-client privilege didn't exist because the president wasn't using Comey as the government lawyer to advise him. So there's no attorney-client privilege. The other privilege that a president has is the executive privilege, but that wasn't invoked in this case. Had it been invoked, it might be a different situation because the direction would have been that Comey shouldn't testify. The White House chose to do the opposite. So there's the sense of privilege is that when you're in the Oval Office or in the dining room of the White House with the president, the conversation should remain confidential. And I think we all feel that way who have ever dealt with the president. But in this case, you know, these men are going at each other hammer and tongs. And this is what you get when you do that.
Jeff, a question that I've been asked repeatedly is because Comey even said in his testimony that the president had the authority to ask the FBI to drop the criminal investigation. So why not just tell him to drop the criminal investigation if he had the authority instead of going in a roundabout way?
Yeah, it is a fine line here. I mean, he's head of the executive branch, which is DOJ, and ultimately, obviously, Jim Comey. But he does use euphemisms in the sense that he hopes it gets dismissed or hopes it doesn't get pursued. So the president could have been a little more overt, but politically, that would have been an obvious problem. So he uses words like, I hope this doesn't get pursued. And normally, when someone hopes something, as some of the questioning was yesterday, I think, by the senator from Idaho, the word hope doesn't really get you to obstruction of justice or any criminal act. However, this is the president of the United States. telling someone who works for him that he hopes something happened. That has implications. So while the president could have simply told him, don't pursue this, that has political ramifications. So he was a little cute with his words.
Steve, there has been talk that President Trump has tapes of these conversations. There's been no word from the White House confirming or denying that. What's the next step we expect on this? Do we expect to see that, there's a subpoena coming from Mueller?
Well, I think the traditional way a special counsel would deal with the president would be to ask for a definitive answer from the White House about whether they exist or not. In the Watergate, which clearly the tapes were the central issue ultimately that led to President Nixon's resignation, there was a subpoena both from the then independent counsel, which is the equivalent for all purposes with the special counsel, and there was a Senate subpoena from the Senate Watergate Committee. And so subpoenas can be issued to the White House, and courts hate that issue because it puts the court between the other two branches of government. It's a very uncomfortable place. So this is an issue that has to play out over time. And the answer is either there are tapes or there are not. And if there are tapes, Mueller's going to eventually listen to them.
In about 30 seconds, Jeff, how long could Mueller's investigation take? Ballpark.
Well, there's no time frame on it. It's not going to take a month. But by the same token, I don't think we're still going to be wondering about it in a year. So somewhere in there. If I were a betting man, I would say, right after the new year, let's call it, February, March, maybe into April. Bob Mueller has a staff at his disposal. He's basically got unlimited resources. And it's a finite type of investigation. This is not an investigation that goes back 10 years. So he's going to do it as quickly as possible, after a certain point, it's too late.
I have to stop you there. We could go on forever. Thanks to both of you. That's Jeffrey Kramer of the Berkeley Research Group and Stephen Ryan of McDermott, Will & Emery. Coming up, the Dodd-Frank Act and its future. This is Bloomberg.